are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Whoever you are and wherever you are all around this beautiful planet, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Welcome to all of you who are joining us for the very first time. I am delighted you're here. I think you will be, too. Now, listen, we've got some new sponsors coming on board during the next couple of weeks, and I am really, really excited about that, really looking forward to it. And It looks as if we may finally be establishing the type of long-term support that we've been looking for, that we've been seeking. But we do have some very urgent, immediate needs. And I know that you have come to our aid a couple of times, several times during this past year. And for that, I am so very grateful. But we have this one more hurdle to clear. I wish it were possible for me to just wait until these new sponsors are on board, but it isn't. Look, times are tough for everybody. I know that. Times are tough right now, and I understand if you cannot kick in a few bucks, but if you can, please do so tonight during this show. It truly is necessary. If you can, you just go to my website, scroll down the main page, and you'll see a button on the left that says donate. Just click that and make your donation. I do appreciate it. And hopefully we have finally secured the long-term type of situation that we've been looking for. But it would be a shame for us not to make it to the next couple of weeks. It really would. So if you can, help us out, all right? Hey, the K-Files e-zine is free. It is our weekly newsletter. Now, the K-Files e-zine is really easy to subscribe to. It's free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Now, if you're on our page or if you're listening via our player, there's a button right there on the player on the left that says K-Files. Just click that and subscribe. It's that easy, all right? It's that easy. Saturday night, that would be tomorrow night, May 3rd, I will be in the chat room for those of you who are members. I'll be there hanging out for a couple of hours. Hope to see you there if you're a member. Come to the chat room. And you do so at the same time that you tune in to listen to the live show. So whatever time it is right now in your time zone, that's when you'll go to the chat room. And I'll be there, okay? And I hope all of you that are members will be there. Look, on the player page, or on the player, there is also a button that says share. And sometime during the show, if you will, click that and simply fill in some email addresses for friends. And it's so that it'll send them a notice about the show and invite them to listen to the show. There are all kinds of ways to participate to help us continue to grow, and I appreciate you for doing anything you can to help us grow. You are what this is all about. Tonight, my guest is Dick Criswell. We're going to be talking with him about something kind of, well, everything that AlphaCom looked at was strange, but some strange, different kind of angle that AlphaCom was looking at. I found out about that. I want to ask him, why was AlphaCom looking at ghosts? We'll be back. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. You know, there's never been a better time for you to start your own broadcast. I know there are a lot of paranormal investigators. I know there are a lot of people who are paranormal experiencers who want to have their own broadcast. Well, now you can right here at Steel Eye Media Network. It is within your grasp. You can do it, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call today at 1-800-318-1008.
This is Charles Hall.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hardcastle.
This is Jason Martell, researcher into the ancient astronaut theory.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
Welcome back, and I think this is going to be a very, very mind-opening and perhaps mind-bending show. I like those, don't you? I like one that challenges us a little bit mentally and causes us to really expand what we're thinking about. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. As you know, Dick is a former member of AlphaCom with above top secret clearance. He is the founder and director of IPUS, which is the International Paranormal and UFO Society. And he's been with us before. Dick Criswell, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, Kevin, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Dick, you know, I obviously don't know everything about AlphaCom there is to know. I was under the impression, however, that AlphaCom was primarily looking at UFO stuff. But and I guess this is kind of that. But in the course of looking at the UFO information and trying to determine what would be disclosed to the American public, AlphaCom became involved in looking at ghosts. And it's connected to the Roswell situation. So why? Why were you guys looking at ghosts?
Our charter was, you know, for the Disclosure Project. And I assumed that that's all it was going to be limited to.
Now, you're not talking about Disclosure Project, the same Disclosure Project that we know by that name under Stephen Greer, right?
No. I'm trying to simplify this, you know, for those who have not listened before. It was trying to bring facts of the UFOs, aliens, what the government knew, and we were going to bring it forward. So I guess that would, what, you know, be what I'm trying to say. That would be to disclose this to the American public.
And AlphaCom was part of, or it was under the umbrella of DARPA, right?
That is correct.
Okay, that which is correct. A government agency.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but now that we've got that clarified, continue with what you were saying.
Okay. Okay, well, I assumed that that's all we were going to do, you know, is bring this fax to the American public. However, in the charter, it said that it may not be just limited to that. So it's kind of like, you know how you'll be given a job description, and it'll give you the job description, and it'll say all other duties assigned to you?
Yeah, uh-huh. You okay. have to do all of this plus anything else we say.
That's right. That's right. So one day, and I look back in my records to see when this all took place. We were bringing this forward, and one day an admiral, and I can't mention his name, but he brought forward this thing that he was talking about a ghost at Roswell where they had taken the dead bodies supposedly of the aliens to a hangar there, and that's where they were staged until they were put aboard someplace and then carted off. Some think Wright Pat, others say it was another Air Force base, but you know, I had seen the documents, and I believe that they have they got to Dayton, but it was rerouted to, there was an area that they got routed to Texas and then on to Dayton, and I don't know why that was. I don't think that was ever clarified to me. But anyways, this admiral was talking about people like centuries and so forth seeing these ghosts that would pop through these walls at Roswell in this hangar. And the interest is we wanted to find out as AlphaCom, because there were several different reports about anywhere from 3 to 6 bodies there in the hangar that people had seen. So we wanted to clarify if anybody had seen all 6 of these dead bodies, so to speak, and whether these ghosts all appeared at once or how many appeared. So that's where the interest was taken. And if you want to call this kind of like an X-Files type thing, I might say that we did some other things at AlphaCom that weren't exactly on track, and there's several things that I can't talk about. But this particular thing came up, and it kind of threw me because, you know, I'd been into ghosts before, but I just kind of wondered what the connection was. But they told us that they wanted to determine how many bodies were there.
All right. Now, the deal was that some of the sentries, some of the security people, were seeing ghosts of, it looked like, grays, right?
That's correct. That's correct. But only not like, you know, solid figures. They were seeing these as like a ghost. They would be shimmery, but they had the outline of a gray.
How many of these security people reported having seen that?
There were at least 6. I don't know whether you call them sentry guards, but that's basically what they were. You know, they had protected this hangar, but 6 of them had seen it, and I'd seen the reports that they had talked about seeing these ghosts, and it seemed like it was. It seemed like it wasn't an every night type thing, but they would show up maybe 3 or 4 times a month, and it would throw these guys off guard. And I think we just looked into it just to pacify somebody, because and I don't know how this admiral got involved in this, but he told us that we needed to look into this, and he would give us all the reports that we needed and so forth. So that was looked into.
All right. At Roswell, we have you know, we with the Roswell incident, we've heard that it was a weather balloon. Well, we first heard from the Air Force, before it was called the Air Force, it was the Army Air Corps. We heard from them first that they had recovered a flying disc. Then, within hours, we were hearing, sorry about that, it was a weather balloon. And then after really, really intense investigation by various investigators, and books being written, and the public pressure, the Air Force finally came out and said, well, you're right, we have been lying. It was a whole bunch of balloons called Project Mogul. Then when the public didn't buy that and they said, you know, you got to be kidding, that's nonsense, the Air Force came back with, and one of the things that was brought up was, that's nonsense, what about the bodies? Well, the Air Force came back with, well, it was Project Mogul, a whole bunch of balloons strung together, and it was really top secret. And the bodies, well, possibly, you know, we were doing some tests where we would take these crash test dummies up in balloons and at high altitude throw them out because we were studying the impact and the trauma. And then the public came back and said, yeah, you did. But you did that in 1954. We're talking about 1947. And the Air Force said, ah, your memory must be bad. So I'm going to ask you, as a member of AlphaCom, was there a crash of an extraterrestrial spaceship at Roswell, and were their bodies recovered?
It absolutely happened. There were bodies recovered. It was not clear on the paper. I mean, the paper that I saw on this thing showed that there were between three and six bodies. Now I didn't understand. You know, I felt like if these guys knew, they could tell you whether there was just four bodies, six bodies, or however many there were. But the paper that I saw, or the document that I saw, was between three and six bodies. So it absolutely happened. I mean, there are records to that effect. I did see them. So I'm saying this whole story that they brought up about Roswell was created by, and one of the guys that just gave a deathbed confession last year on this was Mr. Halt, and he said that he was in on the planning of how they were going to explain this thing away.
All right, so it actually did happen. There was a crash of a UFO. There were bodies recovered. Now, one of the theories that's out there, and there seems to be pretty good evidence for it, is that there were two UFOs that crashed. And one was at Corona, and that's the one from which the bodies were recovered. Anything to that?
Well, let me tell you the document that I've seen, and it's been declassified. I mean, I could tell you where to go look at it, but that wouldn't be. I'd probably make some people upset. But there were two UFOs, and they were flying, I guess, what I want to say, like in a formation type thing, and they were hit by radar. Okay, they didn't run into each other or anything like that. That's what this document said. They were flying in like a formation, and the radar hit one, and the other one slid over and hit the other. One came down around Roswell, and the other one came down in another location. And there's been about, I think, about nine reports showing, not from the government, but from other people, saying that it was in different locations. And they were talking about at least three areas, and it's possibly more.
Okay, and the bodies were recovered from the second location or from the one right near Roswell?
The one closest to Roswell.
All right. 3 to 6 bodies. Now, what that would mean is that the mortician, Glenn Dennis, who gave his testimony about having this contact with a nurse at Roswell that described for him these bodies, and his report about the fact that he was asked to bring some small caskets to Roswell may have some credence.
Oh, it certainly does. As a matter of fact, I did talk to Glenn Dennis about this, and most assuredly, the thing that I liked about Glenn, he tells the same thing. He never makes up anything. There's nothing ever added. It's the same story. So if he is a liar, I mean, he keeps it together good. But what I had seen in documents, that the story that he told was true, and I feel that it's true.
All right. Now, the what about this nurse? You know, they've never been able to locate her or any nurse attached to the Air Force at that time by that name.
Okay. And that is that's the storyline. Are you ready for a scoop?
Scoop us.
All righty. Back in 1997, okay, which would have been the 50th anniversary of Roswell, I was in Roswell at that time. I did talk to several different people at that time. I talked to a Dennis Balthaser, and there was a couple other people that I won't go into detail, but they had told me at that time that they had tracked her. Remember, the story said that she was dead. Remember that story?
Well, one of the stories was she didn't exist.
Well, she did exist. She did exist, and they have tracked her to Canada. The problem is the nurse will not give any statements. I never personally got to talk to her on the phone, but Dennis Balthaser did, and I seen his notes, and she would never come forward and tell that. So that story ended there. But that's probably a story that nobody has ever heard.
No, I did not know that she had been located. But just the fact that he gave a name and he talked about this nurse, and then we had all this information that she didn't exist, nobody could find any record of her, and you know, when you put that together with, oh well, oops, we found her,
mm-hmm,
really lends some credibility to Glenn Dennis's story.
Absolutely. I mean, I never doubted it because I had seen the original documents that I was shown before, of the Roswell case, and it emphatically stated that his statements were true.
And these are documents that you saw while a member of AlphaCom.
Yes. Yes, they were.
All right, so we've got 3 to 6 bodies, and these bodies are crated up and carried away, maybe to Wright, today called Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. For what purpose?
At one point, Wright-Patterson was a staging area where they could take them there and then they would dispose of them, and I use that word lightly, probably pickled would be better, to let others in the government see what they had found and so forth. And I'm talking about some of the upper echelons in the government, show them what they had found at the various different crashes. Now, from there, I'm trying to think how I want to handle this. From there, there were various different places that they would ship those bodies to. Of course, you know, we all seen the alien autopsies and stuff, which was bogus, by the way. There does exist one particular autopsy that I had seen the report on that exists, but it wasn't the one that... What the heck was that guy's name?
Santilli.
Santilli, yeah, brought forward. And the guy that backed that story knew that that thing was false, but they, you know, the Fox people labeled that thing as the alien autopsy. And, you know, that's kind of a bad thing, but I guess they were just playing around so that they could make money off of it.
Well, yeah, but to, you know, in their defense, throughout the alien autopsy, there would be statements, if true, this would mean this and this and this. And I think a lot of people wanted to believe it so much that maybe they didn't listen. But, you know, they did say several times that if this is true, if this is accurate, you know, this is one of the most earth-shaking stories ever, if this is true. So they kind of gave themselves a bit of an out there. But, you know, I've heard several people say that even though that particular film was bogus, and I mean, it was not the real thing, but it was based on a very real autopsy. I've heard people say that that even though it was staged, it was pretty faithful to the details of the real autopsy.
I believe you're correct on that. I may add, I never did get to see the one that exists. We had asked to do that as a team, and we never did get to see that autopsy. But I was assured by Dr. Michael Wolf that did exist, and I tried to press them to see that because I was really interested in that.
All right, now back to the ghosts. We've got about a minute here before we have to go to break. When did these guys begin to see the ghosts out there at Roswell?
According to my notes, and I looked at that tonight, this was in 95 that they started reporting this stuff, that they had started seeing these figures that would come through the walls, and they'd there was even some EVPs picked up on these, and I don't know. I tried to ask this question whether they were sure that this EVP came from these gray ghost figures, and they said they weren't sure. They said it sounded like human voices, and they weren't real sure that was connected. But they did have quite a few EVPs.
All right, so it was 1995. Why no ghosts until then? From 1947 till 1995, why no ghosts till then?
I personally asked that question, and they said they was probably around, but nobody would either tell or even mention it. But they became more prevalent in that year. We have to go back. Let's see. I think there was two guys that had reported strange occurrences around there right after, like, say, 49, 50, but they didn't say that it was the same type ghost type
just
thing.
Some strange things going on. All right, we have to take a break, and we will be back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always, always a mind bender when we have Dick Criswell with us. We'll be back. You be here too, okay?
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dick Criswell. Let me just quickly remind you that on tomorrow evening, which is May the 3rd, I will be in the chat room in our members area. So if you are a member, you will certainly want to be in the chat room, all right? And by the way, you'll find that when you visit the chat room, it will look a lot different than it does tonight. I think you're going to like it.
All right, Dick, back to this thing about these ghosts that seem to be haunting Roswell Air Force Base. Have you ever been out to the Air Force Base there? You ever visited it?
Oh, yes, several different times. And matter of fact, I'm going again this year.
When you're out there, has it changed a whole lot? I mean, are the buildings pretty much as they were, or has it changed a lot since 1947?
I don't know how it was in 1947 because that was the year I was born, but I didn't get out there till I think it was in the early 60s. Okay, since the early 60s to the last time I was out there, there's a few more new buildings, but basically it's the same thing. It had a facelift the last time I was there, and lots of new aircraft in there. I mean, they've always got it updated. It's just wonderful to go see. You know what they've got in there. They had the one time I went in there, they had the SR-71 and various different planes in there that and some of them, you know, that you could get up personal and close to, and some of them just hanging in the above everybody, and you could just look at the underbelly.
All right, now have you been to any of the classified parts of that base?
That would be a yes, but I don't want to go into that.
Okay, where is the wreckage of these two UFOs that crashed? Where has that gone? Do you know?
I don't know where it's housed today. Originally, it was housed at Wright-Patt. There had been others that have told me that they had stored that wreckage in an area in Texas at some Air Force base there. That's the last I heard about that.
Now, do you know in your research as AlphaCom, you had access to material that was classified? Do you know, when they picked up this wreckage, was it just bits and pieces, or were there significantly large pieces still intact?
If you'd watched that Roswell movie and you've seen those bits and pieces, there were bits and pieces, but there was actual, I want to say like a half a hull, that they found, you know, completely intact, which they didn't address in the movie. They just showed it looked like aluminum foil, you know, in the field. And they said they had, I forget how many pieces it was mentioned in this report, but there was a ton of metal there. And it was all in little bits of pieces, but there was a partial hull, and then the rest of it was all, you know, just tore up.
What about a cockpit area?
I did not see anything in the report saying that there was a cockpit area in this particular crash. They said that they had actually seen what looked like maybe one or two seats, but they didn't see anything that how they controlled this thing. You know, like a stick or, you know, whatever. That was not. You know, they said they didn't recover that part, evidently.
So when these things crashed, they really crashed. They blew apart.
Yeah. I imagine it was probably like, if you believe the story about 911, you know, where the thing went in the ground and they didn't find anything, probably something like that. But then they found bits and pieces of it. But there wasn't much left of it.
What about the bodies? Where are they today? Do they still exist?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. But I'm pretty sure somewhere, and I never asked that question, where they housed them or anything. I just didn't think that that was important at that time because there was other things that I was working on.
Okay. So they may or may not exist today.
That's quite possible. That's mm-hmm. quite possible.
All right. Now, it's kind of interesting that what these guys are seeing out at, or have reported seeing out at Roswell at the Air Force Base is sort of a shimmering apparition in the shape and size of a gray. And I'll get to that in just a minute as to why that's interesting. And you may be familiar with another story that goes kind of hand in hand with that. But before I get to that, are they still seeing these things?
Yes. The last report that I got, let's see, I'm trying to think. That was in 2006. The last report I had seen, they were still seeing these things. Now, I never got anything in 2007 or 2008.
All right. Last year, on this show, one of our guests was Nancy Talbot. And Nancy Talbot is the lady that's so famous for researching crop circles. And she told us a story about being, I think it's in the Netherlands, and she saw a crop circle actually happen. She saw it being formed, and it took only seconds. And the people that she was staying in their home, friends of hers, later reported to her that they had been seeing these shimmering kind of apparitions of aliens, of grays. And the son in the home had filmed them, and she's got those pictures on her website, or a link to them on her website. Now, those are not, they don't talk about those as being ghosts. They talk about them as being ETs, grays, that just sort of appear. But they have pictures of them as they begin to appear. And they're just sort of a shimmering apparition. I have looked at those pictures, and they're pretty amazing. Now, those are not, let's just say those are not ghosts of grays. Those are grays. Is it possible that out at Roswell, what is happening is that they are seeing grays, not ghosts of grays, but they're seeing them as they begin to appear, and maybe they're looking for their buddies?
I think that that's a possibility, but I can only go on, you know, what these guys said, and they appeared like a ghost type image. And I had asked one of the guys, I said, "Are you sure that these aren't solid?" And they said, "No, they shimmer, and it's kind of like." I'll tell you what he told me. He told me that it was kind of like the heat coming off of, you know, a hot pavement. You know how you've seen in the distance, like when you've been driving down a road and you'll see that little shimmering heat come off the highway.
Yeah.
He said it was in nature like that, to where it was. It looked like it was, and you said the word, like shimmering. But, you know, there again, it might be just the interpretation of the guy. But he said he didn't think that these things were whole in nature. He said that you could actually see right through them.
Yeah, but see, that's the way this guy in the Netherlands describes it as well.
Well, it's a possibility. You know, I didn't personally see one, but if I seen one like they were talking about, I would consider it like a ghost because I've seen ghosts before.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you think is happening here? If it's ghosts, what do you think is the deal? Are they coming back there to look for their ship or what?
I think they just feel comfortable there. You know, there are particular ghosts that like to come back, and they feel comfortable in an area. Just like, you know, certain people will stay in a house. You know, they've been reported, ghosts have been reported in houses, and they just feel comfortable, and they get upset if people move things around and so forth. And it's quite possible, because I was told that hangar is not the same way it was in 1947.
Well, these little ghost guys may be coming back and just watching and waiting until the Air Force builds something that they think they can fly.
That's quite possible. I mean, you know, I don't think that could be taken off the table.
I said it tongue in cheek.
It's possible. I mean, anything's possible there, Kevin, because, you know, this whole UFO thing gets weird and has twists and turns, and I don't know anybody that says that it's etched in stone. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. All right, look, we've got a break. We're staring down the barrel of a break here, so I don't want to get into this next big bit of discussion until we come back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with Dick Criswell, former member of AlphaCom, above top secret clearance, talking about the ghosts of the Greys at Roswell, and it's not just a myth. He's seen the reports that were classified about this. We'll be back right after this.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Once in a while, people ask, when do you add the new shows to the K-Pods? Every weekend is when we do that. So over the weekend, all the shows from this week get added to the K-Pods. And one of the cool things about being a member is if there's a show that you hear us refer to, like I just did about Nancy Talbot, you can go download it. It's in the archives. Actually, that one would not be, because that one's already been packed away. It's from last year, and we've got this year's archives in there. But you want to go back and listen to previous shows? It's in the members area in the K-Pods.
All right, Dick, in talking about these ghosts, you said that this is continuing. The last report you saw was from 2006, right?
That's correct.
Have you heard of anything since then?
Yes, I have. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and I had asked him, just kind of in passing, because we were talking about other things. I said, have you heard anything about any activity ghost-wise there at the hangar in Roswell? And he said, yeah, matter of fact, he said, I heard through a friend of his, so this is a friend of a friend of a friend, I guess, and he said that he felt like it was a good report that they were still seeing things.
How does it affect these guys when this happens?
Well, it probably scared their shorts off, probably, when that happened, because they were pretty... they were pretty excited when they first seen this thing, because they had never had anything comparable happen to them at that point.
All right, now you have seen, when you were with AlphaCom, you have seen documents that were classified that are not classified now, and that you're able to talk about. I have no idea whether the question I'm about to ask falls into the I can talk about it category. If you can, though, when you looked at all of the classified documents regarding Roswell, did you see anything that concluded that this was an extraterrestrial craft?
In the nature in the report, there were things in the report that said that these were off-worlders. So not exactly called ETs or anything like that, but they were called off-worlders. So that led me to believe that they didn't come from here.
Recently, there was a radio interview where Bill Clinton made the statement that after reviewing all of the information, the government information, he had concluded that this was not a UFO out there at Roswell. What do you make of that?
He knows better than that. As a matter of fact, he's here in town tonight. And somebody asked me if I was going to go see him, and I said, they probably hauled me away in handcuffs.
You said he knows better. How do you know he knows better?
I know he knows better because he was debriefed by Dr. Michael Wolf and I when I was at AlphaCom, and he knows that the facts of Roswell because he was debriefed on it. And he made several different comments, and Mr. Gore made several different comments, and it was the fact that I know for a fact that it happened. I mean, can I prove that? Well, my wife was right beside me, and she heard the whole conversation. My wife is a member of AlphaCom as well.
All right, so you personally know that Bill Clinton was briefed on Roswell and was told that it was an off-world craft?
That is correct. That is correct. I mean, he knows better. And in this report that you're talking about, he even made some kind of comment like, you know, that was 1949 when that happened and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he knows better than that because we told him the year, the date, and everything. I really would rather not say this statement, but I don't think Bill has ever met a lie he doesn't like.
Okay, why do you think when he pushed, when he was in the presidency and pushed for the disclosure of information, why do you think he would now turn and make a statement like this? What's up with that?
The presidents all tend to kind of deny that after a certain point. I think they're basically told, don't talk about that. And I have no way of knowing who tells them this. But I think they're told, don't talk about it. Don't rock the boat. And that statement, if you go back, there were two items that Bill Clinton wanted to know. He wanted to know if UFOs are real, and I know he knows because we debriefed him. And the other part was who killed JFK. And he told Webb Hubble to check those things out. So I know that part of that story is a lie because these were said after he was debriefed.
When did you debrief him?
It had to be 19, I think, according to the notes that I have here, I think it was the latter part of, the early part of 94. This had been, I think we're talking about maybe January, February, in that area.
And it was you and Dr. Michael Wolff.
There was a four-way conversation. It was myself, Dr. Wolff, Bill Clinton, and Mr. Gore.
All right. Now, if he knows this, it would seem safe to think that the presidents after him know.
Oh, most assuredly. Well, I know for a fact that George Bush Sr. had to know because Dr. Wolff was telling me that in his capacity, of course, he was a CIA director. He said that he was debriefed on that before he had became president. So I do know that Bush Sr. was debriefed. I do know Clinton was debriefed. Jimmy Carter, according to Dr. Michael Wolff, was debriefed. I know Ronald Reagan was, and there was a couple other, spread out. I'm sure that.
Well, here's where I'm headed with this. Okay. The president after him, of course, is George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Although I'm not familiar with any statements that he has made on the subject, I do remember Vice President Dick Cheney being asked about whether he had ever been briefed on what the government knows about UFOs, and he said no, but if I was, it would be classified and I couldn't talk about it.
Well, he knows better. I'm sure that Dick Cheney told him all he needed to know because Dick Cheney was a member of MJ-12.
That's the first time I've heard that.
Well, it's out there if you look hard enough, but it's buried so deep that it's not funny.
And is it classified?
It's unclassified, or I wouldn't have talked about it.
All right, so everyone from, we can assume that everyone from the time of, at least from George Herbert Walker Bush, or Bush Senior, as he gets referred to very often, everyone from him till the present has this information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason that they do is because of national security. And they'll use that thing to twist whatever they want to with national security. But it has to be, you know, so that they know that that could be a threat. So they have to be debriefed on that.
What do you think, based on the reports that you've seen, are UFOs a national security threat?
Some are, some aren't. Some of them are hostile, some of them are not.
What about the ones at Roswell?
I personally, and this is just a judgment call from me, the facts that I've seen, they weren't a threat, but they got too close to that that radar.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this, more with Dick Criswell.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, welcome back, and we are going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines for you at 1-800-289-1092. If you have a question or comment for Dick Criswell, it's always, I don't know, it's kind of like going into the gold mine here when we're talking with someone from the AlphaCom. Was formed under DARPA. It was designed to examine UFO evidence for the purpose of bringing the best evidence out to the public. And it got short-circuited by political realities. And they never got to do what they had planned to do. Dick carries the torch and discloses what he can.
Dick, you know, every time I bring up Roswell, the Roswell UFO incident here on this show, I get email from someone, different people, but I'll always get a couple of emails saying, Roswell is passé, let's move on. What's your take on that? Is Roswell passé or is it still relevant?
It's still relevant because it is one case. I mean, there's others out there, and I'm not going to go into detail tonight, but there are other cases that are just completely bogus. But Roswell is one that you can pretty much hang your hat on. It happened, I'm glad it happened, and I'm glad for the people that pursued it, because there was a lot of facts brought out to the public, and some that they didn't get to see that I got to see, and it's one that you can use for like the history of UFOs. Okay, it's definitely one that you can say, yeah, it did happen. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to see the documents that it did happen.
Well, I think it's a relevant case, but I'll tell you why in just a moment. But I have a question first. All these investigators that have looked at Roswell, Kevin Randall is one, Stanton Friedman is one, I think George Knapp has done some stuff on Roswell, but there have been lots of investigators that have looked at Roswell, they've dug into it, they've written books about it, and that they've amassed a great deal of information about this Roswell UFO incident. How close did they get to the truth?
Well, I felt that in some cases, particularly one witness, Frankie Rowe, that lady told the exact truth the whole way through the case, and they had actually, as a matter of fact, she's the one that I think her daddy was the sheriff at that time, and she said that they threatened her, and the report that I seen, they did put the fear of God in her. I don't know whether they threatened her, but they did make an impression on her, because they told her that they'd be picking her bones out of the desert if she ever told what she knew, and she emphatically told what I seen on these reports that I seen.
Okay, but the investigators that dug all this out, they essentially brought the facts to us?
They've got the facts right, okay? It's about 80% there, but there's some things that they didn't dig up.
All right, we'll get into that in a minute. Now, the reason, and caller, just hang on, I'll be with you in just a moment. The reason I brought that up before I said why I think it's relevant. Dick, one of the things that I've said is that whether the government ever discloses, if they ever come out and have a statement and say, yeah, it's real and here's the deal, whether they do that or not, there's enough information out there on the ground for investigators to go after, for us to know what's going on, that it really doesn't matter all that much whether the government ever does come clean on it. And what you've just told us is evidence that I've been correct, and that is, if the investigators go after it, we can get the story.
That's correct.
Let's go to the phone line, caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
How you doing, Dick?
just fine.
I have a question. You said that, you know, what you read, that these beings were off-world. Could they have been extra-dimensional, or do you think that they're extraterrestrial?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and that that entered my mind, but I believe that they were probably extraterrestrial, but there are interdimensional beings and light beings, and I could go on and on, but these particular ones I believe were extraterrestrial, but the report didn't say that. It said off-worlders.
Now, another question I had, were these the Greys? And what I've heard about the Greys, some of them are actually biological robots that are created to fly the crafts.
Yes, these were the Greys, but I there are many types of Greys. But these were the type, because I had read the report what they said they were. Everybody talks about the big heads, the wraparound eyes. They were bald. They were thin, and they just went into detail like that. But they do make what I call like an anthropoid-looking gray that do fly these machines. I've seen a report on that.
But you don't think these were?
No, I don't believe they were.
Okay, Dick. Well, thanks. I appreciate the answer.
All right, thanks for the call.
Great show.
Yeah, you're quite welcome.
All right, now, folks, 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call, all right, if you have a question. Dick, that very question is the question that I just received in a flash message from Norway. And so, Mike, in Norway, that question has just been addressed without us reading your flash message, but thank you so much for the flash message. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, Dick and Kevin?
Good.
Just fine, Kevin.
Hey, those grays that are supposedly ghosts, could they possibly actually be just grays that are using a cloaking device and their cloaking device isn't working?
I never thought of that angle, Kevin.
You never thought of that.
I never thought of that angle, but that brings food for thought.
I think that may be the case. I think they are looking for their friends, but they're using some sort of cloaking device. But I don't know. Maybe somehow the electromagnetic field is disrupting it or something, and you never know. So
it's possible. I mean, it's possible. I didn't see anything to indicate that in any kind of report that I've seen.
Well, now here's another angle. If that's the case, when they do find their friends and they're pickled, they may not be happy.
I would say not. Well, I'd say they'd probably be pretty upset.
Well, maybe part of the technology exchange that we've been hearing so much about, maybe part of that they sent the bodies back to them for in exchange for some of their technology. You know, I don't know whatever kind of funeral arrangements they have in their culture, but maybe they... they gave them back, you know.
Have you ever seen anything to that effect, Dick?
No, I haven't seen anything to that. No.
Okay, Kevin, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Interesting point. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. All right, Dick, you said that these Roswell investigators, and I'm talking about people that have, they've written books, they do lectures, they've interviewed all these witnesses, and they've dug up all this information for us. You say they're about 80% there. What's in the other 20%?
Have you ever heard, like when you look for a house, details, and location?
Yeah.
Similar to that, I'd say overall, they've got it right, but they're just little details if they would go and... there are still people living that could connect the dots.
Are we missing anything essential in the story?
Not really. I think they've got the story correct, okay? It's just like when people talk about the MJ-12, you know, they think they've got it right and so forth, and there are a few details that they're leaving out. And if they knew those details, it might make everything clear.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, Kevin, Dick. Going on what Kevin just called in, Kevin from Iroquois Falls just brought up, has there been any physical evidence of their coming or going, any trace energies or anything, any measurements made or anything on these ghosts in Roswell?
I don't think I had never seen any documents to that effect.
Well, if they keep coming, you might try something. See if there's any infrared radiation left over or something.
Well, case in point, there is a video that I had seen. Now this is not, you know, official from the government or anything, but there is a DVD out there from Jaime Masson and Jose Garza. And this particular entity was captured on a cell phone, and later there was a bunch of people trying to disprove it, you know, saying, well, it was like a Photoshop thing or whatever. They went to the exact spot that this thing showed up, and they had found an unusual ray with a Geiger counter. They had found that it was almost red hot, but not hot to where it would harm a human. Now, that was mind-boggling, and they claim, according to Jaime Masson, they claim that if you go back there today, you'd still get the same reading. So I find that pretty phenomenal.
All right, Brent, thank you for the call. I've seen that video, and it's some boys out playing soccer.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Doug from Ontario, Canada.
Yes, Doug.
Great. Kevin, you've had a great week this week with some really great guests. And David, thanks for being on Friday night to top the week off here. Can you associate perhaps anything in regards to the last passing of Planet X, for example, and the pyramids, and perhaps those that were worshipped as gods at that time, perhaps we're regarding them as UFOs today? Can you enlighten perhaps some of your research in regards to that?
Kevin, I could barely hear him.
All right. Doug, thank you for the call. I'll repeat the question. He wants to know if you could speak to the issue of the approach of Planet X or Nibiru and the beings that were venerated as gods. Is there any connection between that and modern UFO activity?
I think it's connected. I'm really my knowledge is not in that area. I will tell you that it's just a gut hunch, if you want to say. I think there's something to that, but I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask this. Your work with AlphaCom, did you ever see anything? Did you ever read any reports having to do with this Planet X Nibiru thing?
Not that particular planet, but there were reports talking about other planets which puzzled me to no end, that were out around Mars and Jupiter, that I seen those reports, but nothing to do with this Planet X in 2012.
All right, you said other planets that were out around Mars?
That's correct.
Well, now, you can't say that and not explain it. I mean, That's a bombshell.
Come on, Kevin. I want to.
All right, we're going to take a call, and we're going to come back to that. All right.
Okay. All right.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Tony from Oklahoma.
Yes, Tony.
Hello, Dick.
Hi, Tony.
How are you, sir?
Just fine.
And Kevin, how are you?
Outstanding, as always.
Okay, good to hear that. This is a little off the subject, I guess, but I wonder, Dick, if you know anything about this. I heard, and I can't remember who or where I heard it, but I heard that Travis Walton was picked up because the beam that hit him killed him, electrocuted him, and they brought him aboard the ship to revive him.
I didn't see any official documents to that, but Dr. Michael Wolf, who was the head of our project, did say something to that effect. He said that they were saving his life, and that's the only comment I ever heard on it.
Do you think that Travis himself knows anything about that?
No, I don't believe Travis does.
What a fantastic story.
Tony, thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Did you have another question?
No.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. I truly appreciate it. Very interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I got to meet Travis Walton, 2 years ago, I guess? A year ago? 2 years ago? I can't remember. Very, very nice gentleman. Dick, what about planets around Mars, man?
Okay. The documents that I've seen give a specific number. It was not the documents said that they were, and they didn't mean anything to me other than the fact I didn't think that there was something there. But it was placed in front of me, and I read it, and I said, "Is this true?" And they said, "Well, we wouldn't give it to you if it wasn't true."
If there are other planets out there around Mars in that location, wouldn't the astronomers be talking about it? Wouldn't that's close enough that the amateur astronomers with their telescopes in the backyards could see it?
I understand that, but the only explanation was given to me, it was in a different kind of orbit that could not be seen, like when you look out, it may be at an angle or something.
Hmm. So we have other planets in the solar system?
According to these documents that I've seen, I believe the whole story that we're given about the planets that we know about is a story in itself.
Well, that's a bombshell. We got other planets. How many other planets are there?
I seen the paper, the document, show that there were at least three, and they give the numbers and the coordinates, and I can't to this day recall what they even started with. It's been too long. And they don't let you keep these papers, unfortunately.
When you look at these documents, are you, like, you have to look at them in a particular location, and then that's it? You walk away from it?
That's correct.
All right, so there are these other planets, and these planets, are they inhabited?
Now, I didn't see any documents saying that they were inhabited, no. No, they just said that they were there.
Did you see any documents that identified inhabited planets, that, maybe not in our solar system, but detailed the names and locations of inhabited planets?
Yes, and that is unfortunately classified.
All right, so you can't talk about where they are or who they are?
That's correct. Not at this point, maybe sometime later. As soon as they unclassify them, all bets are off.
Okay. Now, back to these ghosts, you know, if they were interdimensional, then, and not ghosts, and if they were somehow losing their cloaking ability, you know, that sounds to me sort of like the shimmering heat you talked about.
That's quite possible. You know, I just never give that any credence. I guess I just never thought about it.
All right. Do you know the names of some of these people that have reported seeing them out at the Roswell Air Force Base?
Yes, but I'd rather not go into that because I try to keep confidentiality, especially when they tell me don't tell my name. I can tell specifics if they tell me. But
do you think that any of these people would be willing to come on this show and talk about it?
The only thing I can do is ask, and I will try to ask and see if we can get anybody for you.
I would love to talk with someone. Of course, they don't have to give their real name. But either you or me has to know the real name. One of us has to be able to verify that this is the real deal. But if they're willing, I would love to talk with one of these individuals about their experience, what they saw, and how it impacted them, and what they think it is. I think it would be fascinating to hear from one.
I will make every endeavor to try to get somebody on here to talk to you about it.
All right. I know we're kind of jumping around here tonight, but, I mean, you know, it's that way every time you're on here. You just, in passing, you just drop these bombshells.
I'm sorry. That's my way of life, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, I know you live from bombshell to bombshell. All right. Now, within the past couple of years here, we've seen startling images from the Cassini spacecraft. And it's made some rather astounding discoveries about Saturn. It launched from the Cassini spacecraft, the Huygens probe that went over to Titan, one of the moons of Saturn. And it deployed a parachute, and it floated down to the surface. And we saw some startling photographs of Titan, which is a planet-sized moon. I want to ask some questions about that on the other side of the break that's coming up, but first I want to take this phone call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I see. Okay. All right, let's do Titan. It's a planet-sized moon, and it looks like it's got rivers and lakes, and they've verified it does have rivers and lakes. They say they think that is liquid methane. What do you know about Titan? Anything?
Don't know that much other than when I have talked to a couple astronomers and different people in the field, and I think I even talked to Dick about this, Dick Hoagland, that there were some unnatural things on that planet that didn't look quite right. As a matter of fact, this was Dick, I think, I talked to. He said some of the pictures didn't look right.
All right. We'll have to get into that with him, I guess. And find out what didn't look right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? That's two times. All right. We have a break coming up in just about a minute and a half. One of the things that Dick Hoagland talked about last night is this robot head that was found on Mars. And, of course, he's got a photograph of it. It's a NASA photograph. And it's on his website. What do you know about that?
I haven't personally talked to Dick about that, but I have seen that. I have seen that picture, so to speak. And matter of fact, that was on. I can't remember what station showed that, and that's pretty phenomenal, I think.
Did you ever see any documents about past civilizations on Mars?
No comment.
All right. What about current civilizations?
don't think I've seen anything current, no.
All right. What about on the moon? Past civilizations on the moon?
Absolutely. On the backside of the moon, there's a they got a colonization type thing there where they are mining this helium 3.
Who has?
Us, off-worlders, other nations.
Oh, Dick. Another one.
Have I got you hanging yet, Kevin?
What other nations are working with us there?
There was a report that I seen that they said that the Russians were cooperating with us and always have been cooperating with us.
We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into that, and we'll take your calls on the other side of the break as well at 1-800-289-1092. We shall return.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it, You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back. Now, I'll tell you an interesting thing. We have a caller on hold, and an interesting thing is our line with Dick Criswell went dead. Caller, just hang on. We're going to try and reestablish contact with Dick Criswell here and see if we can get him back on the line, all right? So just hang on, and we'll bring you up online in just a moment. Meanwhile, what we're going to do is play that song you just heard. We'll be back as soon as we have Dick.
I picked you up at 10 to 4, just like a thousand times before, on a thousand other days. Took a walk in Silver Springs. I didn't even say a thing. Everything just disappeared. I was there to
take the risk. All right, it's always exciting here at the Kevin Smith Show. We have Dick Criswell back with us. What happened, Dick?
Right after I told you that the Russians, I heard a big pop, and it just went dead.
Ah, quite interesting. Quite interesting. All right, caller, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, your first name and where are you calling from?
My name is Joe, and I'm calling from Carlisle.
All right, where's Carlisle? What state?
In Ohio.
Ohio, okay. Go ahead with your question.
Actually, I have two questions. First of all, I'm new to this, and this is the first time I've actually ever listened to your show, and I know that there's a lot to learn. Where would someone who's a novice, where would they begin?
All right, before we answer your question, we got to do this. Brand new caller, you get some applause. Okay. Dick, you want to answer the question?
I could barely hear her.
She's brand new to the subject. Where can she go to get more information about it?
You can go to our website for, there are various different libraries that carry some of this basic stuff, some of it's kind of what I call like a softball type thing, to where they'll touch on it but they won't expound on it. Also, I might tell you that that we have unleashed a new a chat room that you can ask me questions, and there's other people that man it as well, and it's www.ipustalk.com. Don't cost you anything. You just put your name in, and you can definitely talk with us, and we'll try to bring you up to speed on that.
And then thank you for that answer, but I have one more question. What political candidate that's running for president of the United States would be more open to discuss aliens and UFOs?
Okay, now, we're going to answer that, but let me tell you that here on the show, on this show, we never get into politics, but you framed it exactly as it has to be framed in order for us to answer it, because we're not talking about politics, but which one of them is more likely sensitive to and open to the UFO information. And that's fine, because we're not talking about Democrats, Republicans, and policies. We're talking about UFOs. So, Dick?
Of the three candidates we have now, I used to think it was Hillary. I have now changed my position on that because of some things that were brought up to me about McCain, and I think McCain would probably be more favorable to this than any of the other candidates.
All right. Does that answer your question?
It sure does. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, see, now that's a case, I'm going to explain, I know you know this, Dick, but I'm going to explain for the audience. That's a case where we're not campaigning for anybody. We're not saying the Republicans or the Democrats are right or wrong. We're just answering, you know, something specific about UFOs, and it happens to touch a particular politician. That's not politics, that's UFOs. All right, Dick, well, we've got another caller I want to take before before we get into the next question here, because I don't want us to run out of time. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you not calling, okay? All right, the next question, Dick, back to the moon colony. Why are you able to tell us about that, but you can't talk about Mars? What's the difference?
Again, that is, if you know where to look for it, out in the open and is not classified.
Okay, but you're talking about the moon?
Yes.
But not Mars. The information on Mars is not out in the open, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Fair enough. 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. And we'd love to hear from you, your questions, your comments. I think it's fascinating that AlphaCom got into the ghost business because of UFOs. That's interesting. That's a different way in and a different reason. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening. It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Yes, Charles.
Or I guess maybe Eisenhower.
Okay.
So I gather, Mr. Criswell, there's some specific info that you know about Roswell, but you can't or won't tell us about.
There's several pieces to that puzzle, yes, that I can't talk about. It's like I said, the case is accurate. You know, most of these investigators have dug up most of the stuff, but it would just clarify, I say this, and it's probably hard for you to understand, but if they come up with the other 20%, it would bring everything into focus and, you know, there wouldn't be any guessing.
So when they unclassify something here, does that mean that I can get a copy?
Absolutely. If you know where to look for it. That's the other key.
Where would I look, for instance, for the information about beings on the moon or on the other side of the moon?
You're not going to get it from FOIA, and that's all I can tell you.
Well, so that's not classified, or that is still classified, or it's unclassified?
It's unclassified, but I'd rather not go into that because there's other aspects to that that would bring out other things, and I just particularly don't want to go into that. It's kind of like a bag of worms.
Well, I guess my question would be, what exactly is the purpose of your communications? Is it like their way of getting information out, but somehow keeping it thoroughly deniable?
They really and truthfully want you to know, but there's aspects to this whole thing that brings up other points that you would say, how's come we're not doing this? How's come we're not doing that? And they want to feed you little tidbits. And then finally, there is going to be disclosure. And I had been told a long time ago, and I think I've said this on this program, 2009, 2010, and it's not going to happen this year.
Well, is there anything you could tell us that, for instance, that is information that we don't know about now, and we could say somehow verify it with someone else? some sort of new information that we could say, well, oh ha, he must know something because how would he know that?
I'll tell you what, on this, Kevin asked me about trying to bring somebody on about the ghost in Roswell. I am going to make every endeavor to bring this guy on. And he actually, the one I'm thinking about, could clarify a lot of things for you.
Well, it would certainly be really interesting to hear, and I'll wait with bated breath, hoping for that interview.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Charles. All right. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. That's toll-free throughout the USA and Canada. If you're outside of that area, the number does work, but it's not toll-free. However, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, feel free to send an email to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. flash@kevinsmithshow.com. I'll read your question or comment, and we'll ask Dick Criswell to comment on it. 1-800-289-1092 inside the USA or Canada. Well, we got caught by the break. We'll wait till after the break for my next question. And, ladies and gentlemen, we have time for one or two more calls if you wish to talk with Dick Criswell and ask a question or make a comment. We'll be back right after this.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are talking with Dick Criswell. We'll go back to Dick, and we have a caller on hold. We'll go to the call first up. Let me remind you just briefly that we're about 2 weeks away from new sponsors being on board with us, and we're up against a wall. If you can help, we need you. All right, you can find the donate button on our website. Just scroll down. It's on the left side. It's really not a joke, okay?
Dick, let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don again, calling from Phoenix. Would it be all right if I ask another question?
Yes, we'll take another question from you, Don.
Yeah, Dick, you said we're mining the moon. So to me, it would be very obvious that we would not be using shuttle technology to get there and back. Could you talk about what type of ships we're using and what part of the world they would be launching those from? It seems like it would be more like an isolated base somewhere, so out of the general eye of the public.
I could barely hear you, but I think I know what you're talking about. The particular plane, I call it a plane, that they can fly back and forth to the moon and back to Earth in the same day. I first heard about this plane, and this wasn't when I was with AlphaCom. This was later. There was a plane called the Aurora. And it was suspected that it was a highly classified plane, so to speak. So I actually filed a Freedom of Information request on that, and they told me that there was no such vehicle. However, a couple weeks down the pike, I received another letter, and it was from a general, and he told me that, and I still have that in my collection, he told me that that the plane or the project that I needed to know about was Project Senior Citizen, and probably, you know, reroute my question back to FOIA. So I did. And then they told me there was no such project, so it was just kind of a runaround. But I was told by not Dr. Wolf, but others that I'm in contact with, that yes, they can put these people on the moon without taking them to that sophisticated, I laugh when I say sophisticated, junk that we use at NASA. That they're not using that to put those people in there. And I don't know where that particular plane or rocket or whatever they call that is located or where they fly from. And now I think that was your question, correct?
Yes. Thanks, Dick.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Dick, if the information about the moon is out there, if it's out non-classified and it's available for people to find it if they know where to look, why would your phone be cut off?
I don't know. I don't know, but I've had this happen before, and in between break, there was a guy talking while you were on break, and his name was Colin. He was talking to a Henry. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? And I don't think that was on your show.
No, it wasn't. We didn't hear it.
Okay. Well, I heard
it. What were
they
talking about?
He's talking about being cut off. And that was it. That's all. And then I heard another pop, and it was gone. But I've had this happen several times before, especially when I talk about... See, everybody doesn't want people to know that even when JFK was talking about putting a man on the moon in this decade, you know, when they sent those guys, he was definitely in cahoots with the Russians because he was trying to make this thing to where it was a joint venture, and the powers that be did not like that. And before, when I got in discussions about the Russians, I've been cut off on other programs.
Well, then we're in good company. That it's now happened to you on this show, and it's happened to you on other shows, so. It's not unique. We're in good company. Go ahead.
I look at it like this. Evidently, I talk to some people that are interconnected in the government. Most of them like what I say. Some of them say, watch what I say. And I said, this whole thing is too important to hide this whole thing from the public. And I wish that there were areas that I could bring this out. And I think that I'm going to find a venue later on for that.
Well, Dick, we've got time for one more quick call. Let's go to the phone. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Steve from Baltimore, Maryland.
All right, Steve, are you a first-time caller?
No, I've called you before.
Okay, Steve, what's your question or comment?
Well, I'd like to know whether Dick has heard reports of entities being stored at Camp David in Maryland, underground.
Have I heard anything about what was the Camp David?
Say it
something?
Again, Steve.
Have you heard anything about entities being stored frozen underground at Camp David?
Yes, but they weren't by anybody that I consider reliable. So I would have to say I wouldn't count on a report like that. I have talked to several individuals about that, and, you know, some of them, every time I talk about that thing, the story just kind of grows and grows and grows. So I would say probably until I seen something actual, document or something to that effect, I'd have to say it's kind of in my gray box.
Okay, I've heard from a military police person back in the 80s that it was true that he's actually seen the entities. And,
well, that could be true. Maybe Kevin would even know him.
No, I have to tell you, I have never talked with anyone who's ever said anything like that to me. I don't know anything about it. First time I've heard about it. So... but this was someone in the military that told you this, Steve?
Yes, the actual guard at Camp David, who was who guarded Camp David and was in charge of the other military personnel under him, kind of slipped. He was disclosing some physical layouts of the camp and whatever, and one of my friends was interested in UFOs and that type of thing at the time, asked him point blank, and he said, yes, they do exist, and they're there.
Wow.
That's cool. I like that report.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. Let me encourage you to contact Dick Criswell. You can just look at my site, and you'll see right beside his picture, it says website right beside his picture. And if you click that, it'll take you to his website. There's all kinds of contact information on his website. Contact him with that information, if you will.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
Thanks a million.
All right, we are just about out of time, and I'm just about out of voice, as you can hear. Thanks to the pollen from California that flies in here on the wind at this time of the year. As I clear my throat. Dick, thank you for being with us again. It's been fascinating.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Kevin.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I know we've got some other issues we wanted to talk about, and folks, we may be able to bring those to you next week. We will see. Dick, stay on the line with me, and I'll be back with you in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap. That's the end of the show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Don't you dare miss next week. It's going to be fabulous. We need your help, though. All right, folks. Until next time, so long, everybody.